Welcome to the Recency Belief Podcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danae Mary Louise White, and I am the third oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III equips Christians to stand firm in their faith and offers unbelievers a recency belief.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Reasons to Believe podcast, episode number 154. My name is Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Our Reasons to Believe scripture passage for today is Luke chapter 23, verses 46 and 47. It reads, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man." Our Reasons to Believe quote for today is from Thomas Ara Shrina. He said, "When we read the New Testament, we see that credible historical reasons exist to support the resurrection of Christ. But many scholars refuse even to consider the evidence, for they are antecedently convinced that resurrections cannot happen. This fundamental bias, that is, naturalistic philosophy, is all too often cloaked as objective history. Our Reason to Believe PowerPoint today is titled The Resurrection, Part 7 from the Handbook of Christian Apologetics by Dr. Peter Kreeft and Dr. Ronald K. Tassili. The authors continue with the third part of this chapter, subtitled The Strategy of the Argument for the Resurrection, Five Possible Theories. We believe Christ's resurrection can be proved with at least as much certainty as any universally believed and well-documented event in ancient history. To prove this, we do not need to presuppose anything controversial, that is, that miracles happen. But the skeptic must also not presuppose anything, that is, that they do not. We do not need to presuppose that the New Testament is infallible or divinely inspired or even true. We do not need to presuppose that there really was an empty tomb or post-resurrection appearances as recorded. We need to presuppose only two things, both of which are hard data, empirical data, which no one denies: the existence of the New Testament texts as we have them, and the existence, but not necessarily the truth, of the Christian religion as we find it today. So the question is this: which theory about what really happened in Jerusalem on that first Easter Sunday can account for the data? There are five possible theories: Christianity, hallucination, myth, conspiracy, and swoon. Theories 2 and 4 constitute a dilemma. If Jesus didn't rise, then the apostles who taught that he did were either deceived if they thought he did, or deceivers if they knew he didn't. The modernists could not escape this dilemma until they came up with a middle category, and that is myth. It is the most popular alternative today. Thus, either one, the resurrection really happened. Number two, the apostles were deceived by a hallucination. Three, the apostles created a myth, not meaning it literally. Number four, the apostles were deceivers who conspired to foist on the world the most famous and successful lie in history. Or five, Jesus only swooned and was resuscitated, not resurrected. All five possibilities are logically possible, and therefore must be fairly investigated. Even, number one, they are also the only possibilities, unless we include really far out ideas that responsible historians have never taken seriously, such as that Jesus was really a Martian who came in a flying saucer, or that he never even existed, that the whole story was the world's greatest fantasy novel written by some simple fisherman, that he was a literary character whom everyone in history mistook for a real person, including all Christians and their enemies, until some scholar many centuries later got the real scoop from sources unnamed. If we can refute all other theories, 2 through 5, we will have proved the truth of the resurrection. The form of the argument here is similar to that of most of the arguments for the existence of God. Neither God nor the resurrection are directly observable, but from data that are directly observable, we can argue that the only possible adequate explanation of this data is the Christian one. We shall take the four non-believing theories in the following order, from the simplest, least popular, and most easily refuted to the most confusing, most popular, and most complexly refuted. First, swoon, then conspiracy, then hallucination, and finally myth. Dear friends, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray for all non-believers. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. And help us, Lord, as believers to be the shining lights and the bold witnesses that you want us to be by the power of your Holy Ghost, for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, If you are listening today and you have never trusted this Jesus, please know that Jesus loves not only me, Jesus loves you. And if you want to be saved by Jesus today, here is how. Believe in God the Father, believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins. He shed His blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. What a great deal. Until next time, my beloved, please keep in mind these reasons to believe. God bless you.